where we start 665, and it starts out with Chi.
Chi.
El again. Dia. Tuto. Ereka. Himen. Hoti. Udes. Dinatai. Althane. Pros. May. Eon. May. A. Didomenon. Alto. Ek. Tu. Patros. All right. Chi, that's a conjunction. And if you look up, I'm going to try to print some more of those little analytical lexicons. If there isn't a good analytical lexicon out today, Benjamin Davidson had the best Greek and the best Hebrew lexicons that I ever, analytical lexicons I ever saw. I've got both of them. I have corrected and gone through and expanded Benjamin Davidson's from the front cover to the last, from page 1 to page 444 in his analytical lexicon. And I've added to it, corrected it, and expanded it. And I made a copy of that. And it costs about $30 or $40 to have those printed. It cost me $200 almost to have the first one printed, because they had to go through there and turn every page. And then from then on, it cost me $30 or $40 to kick them out. And they bind them and everything like this. If you'd like to have one of those, I'll get one of them for you. I'll copy them. Any book that I have translated, which is any book in the New Testament, if you want one of those, holler. I'll get one printed for you. They're expensive, some of them, like the book of Acts. I think you were talking to me about the book of Acts. And I forgot to bring that book tonight. I have it printed, I'm sure. But it's probably about $50 or $60. But I think it's 3 volumes, and that's a very long book. The book of Luke is 4 volumes, and that's a big one. John, you can do in 2 books, and probably it's probably about $35. Some of them are just a few dollars, like $5 or $6 for 2 or 3 books, some of the smaller ones. But if any of you want any of those books, from Matthew through Revelation, just tell me and I'll make you a copy of them. And I got the book of Revelation also, and I think it's about $40 for that book. And it's in one volume about that thick. But I do have it. Brother Fred, you...
Yeah, and that verse, the first verse, 65, he says, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come to me except it given unto him of the Father." Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah. Well, let me translate it first, though.
Okay.
Let's translate it. First of all, now, and that's a conjunction, chi, and then we got el again. That's third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. He kept on saying. He continued to say. He did this for a long period of time. He continued to say to them, dia tuto. That's actually one little phrase, dia tuto. He says, therefore, or through this, or because of this, I have told you. That's first person singular, perfect, indicative, active, and that comes from lego. He said, I have told to ye, that's he men. Now that to ye, that's dative plural second person pronoun. I'm trying to go through every one of these so you get used to what these mean. This, are you the brother that has the printout? Who had the printout? Somebody in here had a printout. You've got a printout.
Yes.
All right. You've got a printout. Well, the reason why I'm going to every one of us, this little lady that is down here, usually she must be sick or something tonight. But she has written every verse out by hand, and you go, and I try to give you all that I can of these words. And then we'll go back and talk about how it applies also. To ye, and then we have hoti, and that's that. That's a conjunction or a casual particle, and you can look at that one on page 294 in that analytical lexicon later, if you want to do that. And then it says udes. This word udes is no, not one. It actually comes from uk and day and ace, which means moreover, not one. not one. That not one he is calls to be able or has the power, not one is calls to be able or has the power, has the force. The word that's dynamai, dynatai, and that comes from dynamis. Our word dynamite comes from that word. Not one person has the power, it says, to come to me. Elthane, that comes from erkamai, and that's second aorist, infinitive and active. To come. To come. Pros me. To me. That pros there, that's a preposition. Remember how when you have something pro or con, that means that for or against. Pros actually means the idea of looking, zeroing in on your friend and just following right in. Like a homing missile, all right? You've seen some of those on television, I guess, where they shoot a missile and it's a heat-seeking missile and it does like that. Did you know that we got a heat-seeking missiles out there? I got hit with one of them out in nature here about 8 or 10 months ago. Almost killed me. A heat-seeking missile is a killer bee. A killer bee. You know what a killer bee goes after? You know what they go after?
His honey.
No, I mean, if they think they're in danger, you know what they go after? They say they have attacked cars, the exhaust pipe. They attack lawnmowers, the exhaust pipe, and they attack your face because carbon monoxide is coming out of it. Use of oxygen. That thing hit me in the face so hard, I mean, it'd like to knock me down. I opened one of my barn doors out on the farm where I live, and it's made out of metal, and they had started making a nest in one of the pipes up there, and here they came out. Boy, I mean like bullets. Just like that. I felt them hitting the back of my head just like that. And I said, boy, flies. And I kept on walking. Well, I got away. But I came back. And when I came back at them, one of them hit me and almost hit me. Well, it was aiming right at my nose where I was breathing. And it hit me in the glasses, and it glanced off and hit one of its, you know, they bite you with pinchers like this, and they sting you with the back. Well, a bee will break your stinger off in you and pump, and that stinger will just pump poison in you. I slapped him so fast off of me that he had struck me with his stinger, but you could tell where his pinchers, his teeth, or pinchers, whatever you call it, had bit me. And I mean, talk about fire. Boy, that thing hurt. That was a heat-seeking missile. Well, I'll tell you what, he was drawn to me by the carbon monoxide. I learned a lot about this afterwards, see. About these killer bees. And they're around. They're bad hombres. Heat-seeking missiles, boy. No one is able to come to me. A-may. Pros may a-may. We have a may and a may there, don't we? As one of them's pronounced just a little bit different than the other one. A may. Okay. A may. A eon. That eon there, you see that? Epsilon, alpha, nu. That is a third class conditional. That's that the conditional is undetermined, but with prospect of determination. Okay? And a conditional in Greek, there are four classes of conditional. Conditionals are ifs, by the way. Ifs. The first class conditional, many times is spelled like that. And you can translate this in some places as since. There's no if to it, is there, when it's since, huh? That's a condition determined as fulfilled. Okay? Now this little conditional right here, this one, this young, epsilon, alpha, nu, this is a third class conditional. Now some of you have been here for a while, some of you haven't. But the condition is ruled not by the way it's spelled,
or the way it looks,
but by the affirmation of the verb, the mode of the verb that's following that. And the mode, the verb that's following that, by the way, is that little A there. Do you see that little A, that Ada? See that A? It's got a circumflex over it, it's got a smooth breather, and then it's got an EO, the subscript, underneath there. Those are different markings.
Okay. Get that up. Start over here again. We got a smooth breather, a circumflex, and an EO, the subscript.
All right? And that is third person singular.
Third person singular.
All right. What is third person in the verb? What is the third person of the verb? First person is I. Second person is
you.
Third person is he, she, or an it. Okay? That's the third person. All right. He or she here. And by the way, they looked at a child before it came to sexual maturity as an it. Did you know that? Didn't matter if it was a girl or a boy. It's an it. Didn't make any difference. Before they came of age. they're neuter. You know, that's the way they looked at it, the Greeks did, okay? Third person singular. And then we have present subjunctive active. It's present tense. Subjunctive mode, and it's active voice. There's a lot in here, Brother Fred. A whole lot. And every little tiny itsy bit means something. All right. Except the third class in conditional means that the condition is undetermined, but it has a prospect of determination. It can be, or it may, it either may be, or it may not be. Okay? Maybe. He may be. All right? He may be. Except, or if not, he may be. And then it says, didokinomenon. 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 And that is nominative singular, neuter, or masculine, perfect, participle, and passive. Perfect, participle, and passive. Having been given. It didn't come from him. It came from outside. Okay? It came from outside force. Outside force. To him, dative singular masculine, third person pronoun, that's how to. Auto, okay? Auto. That's dative singular mass and third person pronoun. And then it says ek. Remember what ek? We have ekit signs all over the place. Having been given to him, and where does this come from? Out. Ek to patros. To there is in the oblative case. Remember, there's eight cases in Greek. There's genitive, or nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. Eight cases in Greek, in Koine Greek, anyway. The case of origin, the oblative, okay? Out of the Father. That word ek there, that little preposition ek, on page 121, if you want to look in your little analytical lexicon after you get one of them, you can read all about that ek. It's a place, it denotes the oblative case, and it shows the case of origin. Okay? Now let's go back and look at this verse again. And he kept on teaching to them, kept on saying to them, because of this, I have told you that no one, he is able or has the power, the gumption, or the ability to come to me except he may be. It may be having given, been given to him out from the Father.
Okay. This is one of the verses that supports the limited atonement.
Well, people say that.
Yeah.
This is one of the verses that people use to teach limited atonement. What is teaching here? What is Jesus doing here? First of all, who's he talking with?
Disciples.
He's talking to his disciples. Some of the disciples have left him, haven't they?
They did after this.
They left. Some of the disciples left him. He has just told about Judas going to betray him. All right. Now, these people were following Jesus, weren't they? Some people were following. Why was Judas following Jesus? After we look back, after the fact, now we can look. You know, hindsight's 20/20. Why did Judas follow Jesus? There it is, brother. The old greed. He loved money. And what was he? What was his job in the church? He was the church treasurer, all right? He liked the money. And when the woman broke that expensive ointment and put it on Jesus' feet and dried his feet with the hair of her head and with her tears, whatever that was, okay, custom. But he said, oh, that's a terrible thing. That could have been given to me. That's what he really meant. Been given to me. Not to somebody else. It was given to me. People are greedy. They are greedy by nature. Greed. And people will go to church. Had a man come to me one time. He had been like stone. He couldn't come. He could not come. He was turned off. The Holy Spirit, I believe, from the Word of God, the Holy Spirit draws all men. Some come, some don't. Some do, some don't. But no man will come to God unless God draws him. I can guarantee you that. No man will come to God except that God draws him. These people, some of these disciples, had come to Jesus for other reasons besides the Holy Spirit. They were coming and following him for the bread and the fish. Remember, he taught a real lesson on that, didn't he? He fed 5,000. He fed two different groups of thousands. And then, they kept on following him, wanting more bread, wanting more bread. And then he told them a story about what? He said, look at me. He said, I'm the true bread of life. The true bread that came down out of heaven. The real manna, I'm it. And the true drink, the true water. He said, don't worry about what you're eating and drinking. Worry about where you're going when you die. He told them not to worry about whether they had clothes on their back, whether they had food, but to worry about their status between them and God. That's the most important thing. Don't let your belly be your God. Some people love to eat, and some people eat to live. There is a difference. I like to eat. I really do. But a lot of times I just eat because I have to. Because if I don't, I'll have low blood sugar or something, and I won't be able to function very well. There's a difference between a glutton and eating because you're hungry. A glutton will keep on eating and keep on eating until he vomits. He does. And here's another case for your customs of the Bible. The alcohol back in Bible days wasn't very alcoholic. It didn't have a lot of, they didn't have sugar like we do today and syrups and stuff like we do today. You know what makes the alcohol form in fermentation? Sugar. There was a sweet beverage called sweet wine in the Bible's days, and they added sugar to the grape juice. After they squeezed the grape, they added a sweet substance to it that they had rendered down and out of other forms. We use sugar cane today. We use sugar beets. And we use this type of stuff. You can get sugar out of many products, but you can throw something in there that's got a lot of sugar in it, and that's what makes the alcohol. I have some hogs that I'm feeding at home. If I take corn and roll barley and wheat and put it in a bucket out there, I can leave it there in that bucket for 2 or 3 days. And it's not real stinky. But if I pour sugar in it, or molasses, or if I put honey or syrup, that thing just starts rolling and boiling. You know what it's doing? It's making alcohol. Okay? Back in the Bible days, for people to get drunk, and the Romans had a vomitorium. You know what? Have you ever heard of a vomitorium? How many of you ever heard of that term? In the big feasts, off to the main hall was where they'd have feasts, and off to that hall was a restroom type thing where water ran down through there, and there was holes in the walls like your urinal, okay? And they would go in there and they'd eat until they were absolutely full and drink until they couldn't get another thing in, and they would go down there and stick a feather in their throat and vomit. That was a vomitorium. So they could eat again, continue to eat. These are gluttons. This is what Jesus is talking about. Gluttons. He said, don't act like a glutton. Like a Roman glutton. And when they were drinking, they wanted to get drunk. They would drink until they couldn't drink anymore, leave it in them. Their belly was just plumb full. And then after about 15 or 20 minutes, they would vomit that back up. And they would go do it again until they got drunk. Real drunk. Because there wasn't enough alcohol, but the first thing that in wine that goes into your body is the alcohol. Okay? And that's how they would get falling down drunk. Gluttons. Drunkards and gluttons. Now these are the people that Jesus was talking about. The customs of the time. Now you learn something new. That's a gruesome one, isn't it? But it's the truth. You can study the Roman culture, and they had the vomitoriums right off from the big banquet halls. And Jesus said, they accused him to be a drunkard and a glutton. They accused Jesus of being a drunkard and a glutton. But Jesus showed them what true drunkards and what true gluttons were, didn't he? No man, it says, can come to the Father except that the Father draw him. Now that's an absolute fact. Some people were following Jesus because they wanted something that he had. People are in churches today because they want prestige of being in a church. If they have a big business, it gives them prestige and honor. Or maybe they're feeding their ego. I don't know. But you see that. But a lot of them are not saved. They were never called of God. They were religious, but they were never called of God. John 6 and verse 66. Brother Fred, that's the best I can do with that verse. There is, in the subjunctive mode there, it means that they may or they may not come to God. That's the maybe. And every time it talks about the calling of God, there is a subjunctive mode which means may or may not be. Every time in the Bible, not just here and there, but every time, it's there. It's there. You see the subjunctive mode, then? The maybe, the may not be.
Is that for the choice that every human God will call them, but man has the choice to accept the calling? Well, I know in this late of time, God knows all things.
Yeah.
So at the end of time, He knows who's going to be saved and who's not.
In the beginning of time, He did.
In the beginning of time, He did. Right, we're living right now, this minute, and if God calls someone, that person would or would not accept that calling?
They may or may not.
May not.
You see this carpet here? That carpet's made up of a lot of threads. Somewhere in that carpet, there's one little thread that goes from one end of it to the other. And that's what I call the free will thread. In the whole carpet, man cannot come to God because he is evil. He is evil. All right? He is evil. The Spirit of God draws him to him. And the Spirit of God convicts him. But you know as well as I do, you have seen people that have gone to church and have been convicted of God and convicted of sin in their lives, and they just keep on going that way. They just keep on going that way. Some, and they become so hard. But is God dealing with them? Yeah, He's dealing with them. But they didn't come. And somewhere in that little tiny bitty thread of volition was there. But I think it's real small. It's real small. But I see it in the language in the Bible. I see it in the different things that happen. I see it's there, but it's so small and so insignificant.
That's all I can say. It's there, but it's small.
But God does call. Some come, some don't come. But I think, from what I see in the Scriptures, it's called on them. But some come, some don't. Some get hard like clay, some get soft like wax. Okay? That's it. That's all I need. Something with you. But as a person is born of God, I think they can be born of Satan the same way. And Paul was born of Satan. He was on that way. He was on that road. He was fighting the churches of the living God. And he was fighting God and doing it. He was going that way, and God struck him down. And he said, I was an abortion. I was aborted. My destiny was aborted. As simple as that. And boy, that's a real, that's an unusual term, brother. He was aborted. He was an abortion. He was drawn out of, he was forcefully drawn out of Satan's group and put in God's group. And that's the way it is. It's plain, boy. I mean, that's election.
Yeah, that's the story.
And I want to tell you something else. The nation of Israel is elected. And that election has nothing to do with them. Nothing to do with them. Nothing to do with their volition, because it was an unconditional covenant. Unconditional. There was no condition. The condition stood only on God. Only. That's it. And they're still God's nation today. And God's going to use them. He's going to bring them. He's going to beat them into subjection. That's exactly what's going to happen. He'll be glorified in it too. John 6 and verse 66. Ek. Tu. Un. Poloi. Ek. Ton. Matheton. Autu. Apelthon. Ace. Ta. Opisu, Piso, I mean. Kai. Ukete. Met. How to. Peripatone. Well, this tells a story about those that was not following because of God's calling. All right. Ek, it means what? That's a sign of the oblative case in Greek. All right. And ek is a little preposition. It means out. Okay? Out of, therefore, or out of this, or because of this, many, poloi, nominative plural, that's an adjective describing a number, many, and then we have this little word ek again, out of the disciples. Now, ton, matheton. What is a disciple again? Remember what that term, disciple, matheton? What is that term? Habitual learner. Now what does that say right off the bat? That they were habitually following Jesus. They were habitual learners. These are the crowd that followed Jesus all the time, constantly. Brother Fred, it's about 11 minutes after. You got about 4 minutes.
Thank you.
They were habitually following Jesus, but they were following Jesus because of their own calling, their own volition, or whatever. They weren't following Him. It says, many out of the disciples of him, apelthon, that's third person plural. It's third person plural. That's they, okay? They, third person plural, second aorist, indicative active. They went away. They went away. And then it says, eis ta opiso. That's a real hard little phrase to translate. Because of this, they backed off. That's what it means. Because of what he said in the last verse, they just backed off. They just slunk into the background. And as Jesus' group went on, they just stayed back. They didn't follow him anymore. But we can see the picture of it. And it says, Kai ukete. This comes from ukenethi, and it means no longer. Met, that means with. That's preposition with on page 265 in your lexicon if you want to look at it. no longer with him or by him or for him, they kept on walking as a habit. They no longer continued to walk with him. That's third person plural, imperfect indicative active.
They were offended at what he said.
That's right. Yeah. Hard sayings. Yeah. Hard to understand.
But that's the nature of all of them.
That's the nature of Adam.
You're right.
The Adamic nature. They sometimes time will tell you something. Remember, I told you a lot of times that there's a time element in learning. If you'll hang around this Greek class for a long enough time, you're going to learn Greek. There's a time element in learning. It's going to rub off on you. You're going to learn what chi means and what ek means and what the definite articles mean and what a practical substantive means and what third person is, singular and plural, and what the indicative mode is. That's a statement of fact. All right? And active voice, it means that a verb is doing active. All right? You know what the middle voice is and the passive voice and all of that. You're going to run into it. You're going to see it so much, you're going to learn it little by little. It's going to stick to you. I remember one time I took my daughter out to ride a horse before I came to my Greek class, and it had been raining, and she'd been through a lot of problems with her mother and has been tortured and abused tremendously. And so I would take her out there no matter what, and let her play with her horse, because it's a mind-healing thing. And I took her out there with her little old horse, and that horse did not want to get out of that corral. It didn't want to go. And I walked in there in my nice, clean clothes, and they go, "Get out of here, please, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." So I go out there, and I get a hold of this horse, and I start trying to lead her out of there. That horse didn't want to go. She jumped up and flipped over backwards and fell in a mud hole. And splashed mud all over me. And when I came to class, you could tell where I'd been. It looked like I'd been in a cake pan. Walking with him. I hope that some of this rubs off on you and just kind of follows you out. Just like soot, when you clean the old stove out, soot sticks to you. I hope some of this sticks to you. It's bound to. You get stay around it long enough by sheer exposure. People ask me, well, they say, you are a brilliant Greek scholar. People say that to me sometimes. I said, no, it's just from sheer exposure. I said, good, it's the long. It rubbed off on me just a little bit. When you translate the whole New Testament and you write a commentary on it and everything, it's bound, some of it's bound to stick there, just a little bit. And when you teach it, I've taught, this is the 96th class I've taught. This is number 96. And an hour and a half classes. You teach Greek for 96 hour and a half classes. That's almost 150 hours. Well, brother, I still got the tapes, and you can get them. And it's good to see you here, Brother Schofield. Good to see you. No longer they walked with him. No longer they continued to walk around. That peripatio, it says that we're supposed to, that's a term that says to make your, to spread yourself around. Adam, God told Adam in the garden, he said, peripatio in Greek, basically. He said, spread yourself around. Walk down the earth. Walk it down. You're responsible to care for the earth, but get out there and walk around. Survey it. Case the joint. Get out there and walk around. Some people spend their life walking around in the world, and some people spend their life walking around for Jesus. Where are you in that group? Which one of them are you in? Give yourself to God. You'll never waste your time if you spend your time with God. You'll never waste your time. That's time well spent. That's good retirement. I'm not working for my retirement, people say. I'm working so I can retire. Well, what you do in this world, what you retire from in this world is basically little or nothing. It only lasts for a while. Well, I've known people that retired and, well, Dave Sheldon up in Bishop, California. I'm a ham operator. I used to talk to Dave. He's a doctor and bishop. He was a wonderful man. and he was a pilot. He loved to fly. He was a fighter pilot in World War II, and he just had an obsession with flying, and he loved to fly gliders and everything. And he was going to spend his whole retirement flying all over. He said, I'm going to fly over every square foot of the White Mountains. I'm going to go fly down to Mexico. I'm going to fly to Alaska. I'm going to fly all over. Just fly, 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 fly. That's what he wanted to do because he loved flying. And he helped save a friend of mine's life. He was one of the people that stayed stuck in there and stayed with him and saved his life. And he lived about 3 years after that. He went ahead and died anyway later, but he saved his life and helped him to go on. He took care of some real important things in those 3 years. It wasn't a waste of time in those 3 years. But he helped him do that. But he sent his x-ray equipment down to Mexico. I remember when he was retiring, and the whole area bishop was just so sorry to see him retire. But they were glad because the man had put in a lot of years. He'd flown all over the place and done stuff free in mission fields and in little mission hospitals and things all over the country. He had gone and worked. And he was going to spend the rest of his life doing that. And he had given all of his office equipment, everything away to missions and to orphanages and things. And he flew for the first week. He flew every day in the White Mountains in his little glider. He'd have them take him up and he'd fly all over. The second week he was up flying and crashed and killed himself. That was it. He never went anyplace else. He crashed in the White Mountains and died the second week of his retirement. Well, I think that man had more retirement in a different place because he sure didn't get any of it here at all. And that's what happens so many times. It's Social Security. Social Security. They keep raising the age on Social Security because they don't have to pay you very long. They don't want to have to pay you. Pay in it all your life, but they don't want you to draw it but just a few years. And I mean, they haven't figured out where they only want to have to pay it to you about 5 years before you die. That's it. Well, that's kind of like retirement is in the world. That's kind of like eating now. When you get real hungry, and you can get caught up on eating real fast, can't you? You can sit down in 15, 20 minutes and gorge yourself, and you're full. You don't want to eat again for a week, you think, when you get up. But what about eating the Word of God, that pleasure, that desire, that obsession just carries you throughout your life? And you know what? It's going to carry you throughout eternity. Not just here, but forever. Not just here, but forever. Always. That desire you carry out of this life. And whatever you study the Word of God here, you haven't wasted your time. It's just maybe you'll be in a higher grade. Maybe Paul will be your teacher. And maybe for real good, Jesus will be your teacher. Get up there in high school or college. And that's just figure of speech, too. It don't mean anything. But what you study here is good. It's good for you. John 6 and verse 67. Epein un hoesus tois todeca me tai himes delete hibagin. All right, third person singular, second aorist, indicative action. That a pain there, that comes from Lego. It don't look like it, but it does. Lego, that's second aorist. That's a punctiliar action. So it says here that he said, therefore, therefore is kind of a conjunctive particle. And on page 295 in that little analytical lexicon, you can look it up. And then it says the Jesus there, Hoesus, that is nominee singular masculine. He's the case of the subject. He's the one talking. Okay? The Jesus to the ones 12. Now just remember that he had already foretold that one of the 12 was going to betray him. Even one of them was not part of that election, if you want to call it that. the elect or the saved. Okay? He wasn't part of the saved bunch. He was a lost duck among the crowd. He was a lost duck among the crowd. I remember one time I used to. I've raised chickens all my life. But I took some duck eggs and put them underneath the chicken one time. And the ducks went out there, and the little baby ducks went out there and started wanting to swim. That mother hen liked to kill herself trying to get them baby chickens back. Or she thought would bring the chickens. They were ducks. They were getting out there in the mud hole, you know, in the water hole and swimming around. They were out doing something they weren't supposed to do. Well, you know what? Among God's crowd, there are ducks out there too. There are some weird ducks. There are some that aren't saved in the crowd. And one of these, of the 12, even the close group, the 12 apostles, one of the apostles sent out with authority that had the power to heal. Think about that. Judas had the power to heal. He had the power to work miracles, but he didn't believe what he's doing. Boy, the power of God in a lost man's hand. But he had it, didn't he? Think about that. Then it says to the ones of the 12, not also, he said, not also, may, that's not, and then also, and then Chi here is a kind of a particle of an enclitic particle or a particle that includes something. Not also ye wish to go. Are you guys wanting, some of you guys wanting to leave also, is what he said? Are some of you guys wanting to leave also? To just leave, go away? Look at the word thelete. That's second person plural, present indicative active. That comes from fellow. That's O-S-A, omen eti, usiane. That's present indicative active. See, O-S-A, omen eti, that's second person plural, isn't it? And that fellow, that means to wish. That word wish there, it means the volition. A volition in man. Thelematos. Paul says to the, in the circular letter that we call the Ephesian letter. It was a circular letter. It wasn't an Ephesian letter at all. But it was a circular letter to all, what they call a general epistle. It was sent out from Ephesus. That's where it's copied, much of it's copied. But it was sent out from Ephesus. It was a general epistle, but it says in there, the thelematos to theou, the spiritual activating force of God. Spiritual activating force. The will of God. There's the will of the flesh, and there's the will of God. He says, are some of you being led by the Adamic nature that is listening to me now? Who of them there was? Who of the bunch was?
Judas.
Now look at the word Judas. Now that's a mistranslation, mispronunciation of the name. It should be Judah. Judah. What does Judah mean? Judah, the name Judah.
Is it the Lion of Judah?
The Lion of the tribe of Judah, okay. But Judah, what does that name Judah mean? Judas Iscariot, that's a Hebrew term there. It means a man from Cariote. And that word, and that little village where he was from, was up by Hebron, up near where Abraham's tomb was. Okay? That means Iscariot. He was a man from Cariote. Judah is Iscariot. Judah means the praise of God. The praise of God. But this man betrayed his name, didn't he? Judah. The praise of Jehovah. The praise of Jehovah. That's what his name meant, the praise of Jehovah. And when you see the word Judas in the New Testament, it should be Judah. They pronounced it Judas because it sounded like that in Greek. But it's a Hebrew word, the praise of God. Judah.
Do you think with the flow of this here, when Jesus was speaking to the other disciples, and when they decided that
some of them left,
when they left, and
Judas was still following.
Yeah, and then he looked at the 12, mm-hmm. and he told the 12, you know, isn't there some of you guys that wish you'd want to go?
Yeah, like some of you talked about the volition, the will about a while ago. Yeah. Here it is right here.
Okay.
This is it. Some of you wish to go. Remember I told you that thread?
That thread
goes through the carpet of will. It's really there. Every time that God calls a man in the Bible, it either he will or he won't come. It is in the subjunctive mode, the maybe mode. And the maybe, man makes up the maybe. He said, some of you don't want to follow me now, still. Some of you, your spiritual activating force is not from me, it's from your own self. You're getting the money. He betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. His spiritual activating force was the almighty green, or the silver, or the gold.
That's what kept him,
there. That's why he kept on following. Because he was money bags. He said, some of you don't really want to follow me. Some of you, the spiritual activating force in some of you is to leave me now. To leave. Except that you're here for what you can get. You're here for what you can get. I'm going to leave you there. And we'll start in 6 and verse 68 next week. And it's good. He told Jesus, old Peter did, he said, who in the world are we supposed to go to, Jehovah? You have the words of life. What a statement. Thank you for coming this week. And